Let's jump straight into it, mate. Where are you right now, and how are you? Like, how's things?
Right now, I'm in Sao Paulo, Brazil, getting ready to do the two last shows of this year in Recife and Belém. They're in the northeast of Brazil. And then I am on vacation.
This is a band now that you've been in for a very long time, 23-odd years now, and your album cycle has been pretty ferocious through that whole time. I don't think you even go like 3 years without an album and then touring. When do you actually normally get time off, and what do you do when you get that time off?
Well, we usually have this time of the year around the holidays, around Christmas and New Year's off. And I usually just spend time with my family. I have a son who's 10 years old, and he lives in Czech Republic. He's Czech and American. And so it's going either there or going to the U.S. where my family live. And I live in Los Angeles now, so just getting readjusted to being back in the States. Mm-hmm. But I travel. I mean, we travel a lot. It's a pretty intense schedule, like you said. When we do have off, it's usually two to three weeks, sometimes maybe a month if we're lucky. But when we have that time off, then we're absolutely free to do whatever we want to do. Mm. So this is fantastic. But, I mean, we have a plus that we enjoy what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're healthy, so this helps tremendously. I mean, it's everything. And so, I mean, these are great factors into what we do and why we can still keep doing it.
What inspired the move back to the States? Because you've been in Brazil for such a long time.
Well, I was really missing a lot of my family and friends, and change is good. You know, I wanted to try to do different things that I probably wouldn't be able to do so quickly here in Brazil. But I started working on a TV show, which is a travel TV show about food and about sustainability, speaking with different celebrities in the music world, and chefs, restaurants, athletes, plan all about just a lot of different things involving a plant-based diet or sustainability of this planet in the future. And so I have this show with the co-host who is, her name is Tanya O'Callaghan. She's a bass player, and she's playing with Steven Adler right now as a bass player for him. He was the ex-drummer for Guns N' Roses. And so we had the same idea of doing a program like this. She's also a plant-based vegan pretty much her whole life from Ireland. We have completely different backgrounds, but we felt it would be great to showcase ourselves and our life, a road traveling to so many different places, showing how we're able to maintain such a lifestyle and just educate people on really in a fun way of what it really means and how it's effective for the future.
Was that Chewbacca in the background then?
Yeah, I know. It's my phone ring. It's kind of like text messages coming to Chewbacca. I'm a complete Star Wars nerd, so.
Oh, have you had the chance to see the new one?
Not yet, but I know Andreas, my guitarist, went to see it yesterday, so I'm looking forward to it when I go to L.A.
I'm the same. Now, the States are a totally different place, as you would know and be aware, and this is not something that I would normally talk to artists about, but with the impeachment that just went down, you're moving back at an interesting time.
Yeah, I know. I can't really go anywhere nowadays where there's a president that's horrible. I mean, it's everywhere here in Brazil and also in the States, but
it's not too good here in Australia either, mate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an international phenomenon. I mean, it's like a low that happens, you know, things come in cycles. So,
yeah.
I don't know. This is going to be a long cycle, though, because he's honestly, I don't see him going anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is, he's not. And there's nobody to even take his place. So,
yeah. Well, this too shall pass, as they say, and hopefully it'll sooner rather than later.
Right.
Now, talking about the brand new album, Quadra, it's a really exciting time for Sepultura, as far as me being a pretty biased Sepultura fan. you've gone into different areas, and then I read a bit more about how there's a bit of an obsession with the number four on this album. Can you expand a little more on that?
Yeah. Andreas actually thought of the concept, our guitarist, and basically he was reading a book about numerology and how the connection with arts and science and everything. And each number has a certain meaning. And with four, it's very significant because it's a number of power, of actually kind of seizing the moment and just kind of seizing the day, actually. And so with the four of us all together, we feel that we're able to do things that it's really in the moment as far as writing music, playing on stage live. It's the four of us in the process of recording. It's the four of us. It's also what we're all born into. This quadra is it's Portuguese for court, or like a playing field that you play a game on. And we're all born into this, which is four sides. And there's certain rules that abide within the quadra, within the game. And this is kind of a metaphor for life, where each person is born in this type of quadra with a set of rules that we abide by, and money being the controller of all. Everyone biting into it, everyone agreeing to it, everyone enslaved by it, and everyone never really questioning it. It's kind of like a modern-day Caesar, you know, where Rome was ruling over many places and throwing their coin there, like, this is it. This is what you're going to be using. This is the currency. This is how everything is going to be run. And it's basically how we are now. We're all controlled by this monetary form of money. And so it's very interesting. No matter the quadra where you're born, this is accepted. And so we really wanted to explore that. Why do we do that? Why are people so extreme and never questioning what it is they're extreme about? A lot of times people are for something they don't really know why. Is it because somebody told them? Is it because they've encountered something that made them believe that?
Right.
And so this is something that's really important to us, even myself, questioning myself about my beliefs and why do I stick up for something, you know? And it's hard for people to look at things in that certain way, because it may surprise you that you may not know what you're talking about, or you don't have a full understanding. And so I had no problem in writing about that and discussing this. A lot of different social issues happening around us, it was impossible to ignore and having effect on all of us. So it was something I wanted to write about, and it just opened up to so many different topics.
And those topics, of course, give the new album so many different layers as well to explore. Ali, and then you've got Guardians of Earth, something a lot of people probably wouldn't expect to hear. Autumn is another track that really stood out for me. The title track, you know, you explore those acoustic guitars. This is a really cohesive storytelling album. Is it actually supposed to be a concept then, given what everything you've just explained?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, it's still using that number four. You know, the album was written almost like in four parts. In the very beginning of the writing process, we're so old, we're thinking of it in vinyl ways, you know, like this will be side A, this will be side B, side D on the second vinyl, and side D on second vinyl. So we wrote it in that constraint where, you know, okay, we're going to show different elements of Sepultura. What is holding Sepultura together, the four of us, and those elements of our past, let's write a little bit on each of those elements. So there's the thrash air, and that's the very beginning of the album that you hear, which is a big part of Sepultura. So we wanted to showcase that first, and then we go into more of a experimental phase as far as like Machine Messiah, and then there's also like a tribal type phase, and then there's like the more mellow, melodical type phase of Sepultura. So it's like really different elements of the history of the band, but the album being broken up into four different components.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. I like where this is heading. Now it does sort of take in lots of different parts of the history of the band as well, but going back to as I mentioned at the start, you're like in your 23rd year now as the lead singer of Sepultura, nearly half your life. Can we go back to that moment? Like, you're 25 years old, you get asked to audition for a band, like, and arguably one of the biggest metal bands on the planet back then.
Yeah, I think it was probably better that I didn't realize it so much then, because then it would have, you know, terrified me, which it did my friend who auditioned, and it terrified him, and he decided he didn't want to do it.
Just because it becomes, it's too big of a thing to actually think about?
Yeah, yeah. He was completely, like, mortified. I mean, he was a, I was a fan. I had a few albums, but I wasn't fanatical. He was a fanatical fan that knew every aspect of the band, and it terrified him, and he tried out. But once, and they actually liked him. They felt that he could do it, but he turned it down.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But he, that guy actually helped me with my demo for the band, and explained to me that the guys are great. They're going to love you. And it ended up working out very well.
Who is this mystery man?
Oh, his name is Davide. He's an American who lives in New York. And he wanted to do he wanted to work in production. And he used to play in a band called Orange 9mm.
Yeah.
It was like he's a very talented musician. He can play almost every instrument. And, but he was just not, you know, it was like really overwhelming for him, I believe.
Wow. What a great story, man. Thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty insane, but he's such a great guy. And it was just funny. I mean, the guy is actually telling me the story. The guy's in the band telling me about Davide and how he was just like, yeah, this is great, but I don't want to do it. And they're just kind of like, what?
Wow.
I think it was just, you know, it's like really, really, really hilarious.
That is incredible, man. Do you remember, like, even going back further than, you know, you're in bands when you're a teenager and stuff, do you remember that moment or that band? Was it a live show? Was it an album that made you go, righto, this is what I'm going to do?
Oh, definitely. It was either two albums. I mean, it was probably Cro-Mags, Age of Quarrel, or Bad Brains, Rock for Light.
Cool.
These are two shows that I saw almost in the same week, and it just blew my mind. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. The energy at a show, the reaction to the crowd from hearing the music, I knew then. It just sealed it for me. Like, this is exactly what I want to do. Especially after seeing Bad Brains. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And there weren't that many black people into heavy music where I grew up, into like rock and things like that, which is fascinating because America has been pretty racist for so long that it even turned black people off to listening to music with electric guitar, even though a lot of black people are really responsible for a lot of rock and roll happening. So just that ignorance that exists was frustrating as a kid. But once seeing, like, you know, a band where these guys black and with dreads at that, I was like, oh man, I want to grow dreadlocks too. And, you know, it was like a big influence. Oh, they were just so badass. And I mean, they just moved people, and they had a positive attitude. You know, they had a song about PMA, and that's, you know, right. And I was a kid that didn't do drugs. I didn't, you know, I didn't do anything in high school. My parents didn't either. I didn't have alcohol at home. So it was like really perfect outlet for me, you know. It just really connected well.
I think we might have to wrap it up. I think I've gone over time, but this is one of those times where I want to talk to you for ages and ages, because there's so much to get through. But Derek, I really do appreciate the time today, mate, and I hope that you've got plans to come back to Australia at some stage.
Definitely, you know, I want to come back sooner than later, and the last tour we did there was fantastic, and we look forward to coming there with the on the Quadra tour. So
no plans in concrete yet?
Nothing in stone, but we're working on it. Hopefully we'll be next year, you know, is what I'm hoping for.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely, man. Take care.